This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. A wonderful thought found in 1 John, the first chapter, and the outstanding fifth verse. You know, we have found out as we talk about messages of life, and I'm not saying you didn't know this before we got into the series. When I say we found it out, we certainly find it out by looking in the Word of God that light and life are things that go hand in hand. And what we want to deal with for a short time on the broadcast today is the important factor of life and light out of darkness and death. You see, all men have fallen short of God's glory, for we are told by Paul in a manner that is so outstanding, if we believe the Bible at all, we got to accept this. When he said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you'll read that in your Bible in Romans 3:23. This, of course, is bad enough, but as we told you 2 or 3 weeks ago on this broadcast, that if man just lets this go, it's like a spiritual malignancy, and it eventually will destroy his very soul. It will cause him to actually lose that soul and be lost eternally. Yes, if sin is let go, we are told in James, the first chapter, that every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And then listen to this. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So Paul can say for us, as we read the Bible in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. So I believe that we have a situation here that would indicate to us that man finds himself in this life in darkness, the darkness of sin, that will eventually lead to eternal separation from Almighty God, or the second death, as it is stated in Revelation chapter 20. But going back to Romans 6:23, I just gave you part of the verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I heard a brother use an illustration one time that I thought was outstanding. It was a simple example, but those are the teachings that sometimes seem to carry the greatest weight and stay upon our mind longer. There was a lady in their family who always used her flashlight as she went from home to walking a short distance down the sidewalk to the church building. And they could always see this sister's flashlight beaming the way. And, of course, statements were made in a very amiable fashion. She's letting her light shine again. And I remember one day evening when she came into the church building just before meeting, that one of the brethren made this statement that you're letting your light shine. She said, you know, this light has a wonderful purpose. It makes it possible for me to get to this church building without falling. But she said, it always indicates to me that I've got to have something greater than this light. When her birthday rolled around, she was given by some of the brethren in the congregation a brand new flashlight, and she thought a great deal of this. She told me one time when I was visiting in her home, she said, you know, the brethren have made quite a deal about my flashlight. But she said, I often think of the comparison that can be made. When one becomes a Christian, it is as though the Lord has given that person a flashlight that will actually be valid and will actually be good and shine throughout their entire Christian life. All you have to do is push the button. So the thought that began with a brother who related this story to me in full fashion to the story of the elderly sister who used her flashlight coming to the church building, it indicated a very good example of the need in our life, a life of darkness and death that will lead to a life of light and eternal life. I want to go to the first chapter of John on the broadcast today, and we're going to indicate to you that these people that John is writing to some degree at least, had realized the value of coming into the light that is in Christ Jesus. They had understood that Christ had offered unto them through the preaching of the gospel an opportunity for the lights to be turned on spiritually in their life. Let's notice a few of the verses here as John unfolds them. That famous fifth verse that told us that God is light, and in him is no darkness, seems to set the key. But then there is a warning offered by John as we actually pursue our light of life that leads actually to eternal life. He said if we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Just as a lady was given this good flashlight and she could simply turn it on by pushing the button, and the light would always be produced, so it is possible in our life as we have fellowship with him to realize that we have pushed the button, so to speak, and we are now in a position where we can have the light for our life. Jesus offered that wonderful invitation to fellowship, which included the forgiveness of sins, in the 11th chapter of Matthew, when he simply said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," he was inviting them to this fellowship of which John refers in the 6th verse, the 1st chapter, 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we're trying to go through the life that we live upon this earth with the flashlight, so to speak, in our hand, but we just don't see the need to push the button. I doubt if you would do that in a physical sense on a dark night, but many people are seeming to do it spiritually when they neglect the light of their life and the light of God and Jesus Christ to shine forth on a pathway that will lead them to eternal life. But then the other side of the coin is a beautiful picture in verse 7. Listen to 1 John 1 and 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." The wonderful thing about the 7th verse, as he writes to Christians, is even when we're walking in the light, it's possible to stumble. I know you've had the experience of perhaps walking down a sidewalk on a good, bright summer day, and yet there was an uneven place in that sidewalk, and perhaps you would stumble as you hit that uneven place. I remember as a youngster, and I'm sure this is true with most boys and girls, when you enjoyed going barefooted, and you can remember how warm the sidewalk would be on a hot summer day, but oh, how it hurt when you stubbed your toe on that uneven place. So even with the light of God being used in our life, we can still, because of our frailty and our shortcomings, make mistakes. But his blood is ever precious and ever present. His blood has the property of offering life. It has the property of offering forgiveness. So as we become a part of his spiritual body, let's think of blood being associated with a body. That blood goes throughout the entire body. So the blood of Jesus Christ, in this spiritual example, is throughout his entire body. And as people at the day of Pentecost and other times upon initially becoming Christians came in contact with his blood, by repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, as we have in Acts 2:38. So, as Simon was told in the 8th chapter of Acts as a Christian, to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him, I'm led to believe that the 7th verse tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, that is ever present to the alien sinner to repent and be baptized, to the erring Christian to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of one's heart might be forgiven. You can read that accounting regarding Simon in his conversation with the Apostle Peter in that momentous 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Then back to the dark side again, with the evidence of light being needed. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's like someone saying, "I really don't need light. I really don't need the flashlight to find my way down the darkened walk." You see, the interesting thing about life to me, and I trust that you'll think about it in the same light on this broadcast, is that even though we've lived probably a good many days, as many have upon this earth, yet the thing that we seem to be the least experienced in is life itself. So even though you've traveled a pathway day after day, you need the light. So one who says, "We have no sin, we haven't committed sin." Now this, of course, would not alone be against the individual who is out of Christ, but imagine someone professing to be a Christian who would say, "Well, I just really never commit sin. I never make a mistake in my life." Well, John's writing to Christians. He said, "Don't you say we have no sin. Don't say your sin is certainly not about. It can't possibly touch you. You have deceived yourself, and the truth is not in you. In other words, you haven't examined the truth. You need to realize the light of God's Word will keep you from going back into that pit of darkness and death, but will keep you in the pathway of light that leads to life eternal. He tells us then in verse 9 how we truly can turn the lights on once again in the life where it had been extinguished. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then one other aspect of warning here, I think to all of us who are Christians today, and if you're listening and you're not a Christian, you can look at this and say, well, the teaching's being offered to those in the church as well as out of the church. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. There's a difference, I believe, between saying that I have not sinned and I have no sin. The individual who says I have no sin is a person who just says, well, I'm living above sin. I can't make a mistake. The person who says I have not sinned is one who may have committed a sin, and when it is pointed out to him by his brethren, he simply says, well, you just think it's a sin. The Word of God points out to us what is right and what is wrong. As we leave you on the broadcast, you have the opportunity for life and light. You can come out of darkness and out of eternal death by obeying from your heart that marvelous truth. Let us help you if we can. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast. They invite you to their services, invite your comments and questions that they might help you in walking in the light of His love.